Hi.
Jesus wants
in. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gay people.
I know a lot of you do.
People, when we come to Jesus, when we accept Him, do you remember how you did this? Was it out of fear or out of love? So often as we go to churches or meetings, where it was the first time we ever hear Jesus, we hear about the fear, the scariness. If we don't accept Jesus, we're going to go to hell. If we don't accept Jesus, we're going to experience the tribulation. So often the message is, if you don't know where you're going to be, if Jesus came tonight, do you think you'll be in heaven or hell? You know, there's lots of invitations given, it seems, that seems to want to indicate the choice is heaven or hell. And this is not the choice. You don't have this sort of choice of heaven or hell. Because if you're choosing heaven and hell, well, of course, everybody wants something nice, so we choose heaven, right? Well, why are we choosing heaven? So you say, it's a better place than hell. Or you say, well, you know, I certainly don't want to be on earth when so many people are being killed off, when there's a dictator, when you can't buy anything or sell anything, and all the different details of how scary it's going to get. And I don't want to be there. I want to miss it. Lots of time the message about Jesus is what you will miss on earth if you accept Him. But this is not the reason that Jesus came. He did not come to give you a choice of heaven or hell. You see, Jesus Christ happens to be one of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God. He came to earth to die for your sins. Why? Because He loves you. And one of the very first things that He's going to do when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior is He's going to come in with you and sup with you. In other words, as the Bible describes, He becomes your brother. You're adopted as the son of God or daughter of God. It doesn't mean that you're a God. It means that you're adopted. You're not the original. Now, as an adopted son or daughter, that makes Jesus our brother. But Jesus is not our equal. Jesus is God. We're not gods. Jesus came to die for us. On the cross, He loved us. When we accept Jesus, it's about Jesus. God sent His only Son because He so loved the world. He didn't send His only Son so you don't have to go through the tribulation period. He didn't send His Son so you can go to heaven. Yes, these are really wonderful benefits, although you're going to go through some of the trip. Anyway, no matter what anybody's telling you, you've got about 1,260 days minimum in the trip. And it is going to be scary, but you're not going to miss the scare. You're not going to miss the fear. And you'll be told, we're not given the spirit of fear. Trying to say that, you know, God's not going to be scaring us. But this is not what the Bible says. This is a way to get around the message of Jesus by making it a party time that makes it a free ride to heaven. Much preaching emphasizes what you could get, what bennies you can get. What are the rewards you can get? It's going to be comfortable up there. He's going to make a mansion for you. So you're going to Think about that mansion you're going to get. You're going to think about your spiritual body being changed. What are you thinking about when you're thinking about heaven and eternity, people? Are you thinking about you could go meet your friends? Go party someplace? You know, leave Jesus way off over here, you know, he's sitting down over there. And you go off on your own? Hey, is this a time when you leave your parents? You know, you're growing up all your life, and finally that day comes when you're old enough to leave your parents, and you're so happy because now you're your own boss? Is this what heaven is? A place that once we get to heaven, we can leave Jesus and God behind? They're off over there. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to go play. And he's going to say, oh, okay, be careful. Is this how it's going to be in heaven? What are we thinking about when we're thinking about our life as a Christian, or as we're ministering to people that are not saved, that do not know Jesus, and we want them to get to know Jesus? What are we using or describing to be the initial relationship with Jesus, of why we are going to accept him? There's some basics, of course, but it's nothing to do with us. The person that we're witnessing to is being drawn by the Holy Spirit, not by you. You just happen to be given some information so they can understand what's happening. So you're not doing anything to make somebody get saved. The Holy Spirit is doing something. Don't you take the glory that you somehow could step in someplace and somehow persuade somebody to get saved. You may scare somebody into salvation, but people are drawn by the Holy Spirit. They recognize they're a sinner. You don't have to teach them that they're a sinner. The Holy Spirit is causing them to recognize this. So we could do the message is pretty simple to an unbeliever. Is he paid the price for you. We see somehow understand this, because we recognize we're a sinner, and so we recognize the payment. It's death. And when we hear that Jesus paid our price for us, our introduction to Jesus is he loved us so much that he died instead of us. So often we're told Antichrist is coming, there's guillotines, there's slave labor camps, Antichrist's kingdom. You're going to be worshiping the beast. He's going to be a dictator of the world. There's going to be some pretty great deal of pain and suffering going on. A tremendous number of deaths, people killed during this time, upwards to 3 billion in the first half of the tribulation. It's a pretty, pretty scary time. And most of our prophecy teachers are sitting there talking about this scary time. But then they say, you can miss it by accepting Jesus. And then you get raptured away, so you don't have to experience any of this. So often we accept Jesus out of fear. We don't want to be afraid. And so we will miss the tribulation or miss anything really bad. We'll miss hell or the lake of fire if we just accept Jesus. The emphasis is not on what does it mean to accept Jesus. The emphasis is not on eternity with Jesus. We're thinking that we get free from our sins and free from all the pain and suffering, and so we can be in heaven and enjoy ourselves with our friends and loved ones. It's almost the reason to go to heaven is to see your loved ones. Of course we love our loved ones. Of course it's going to be nice. What do you think? But is that the reason to go to heaven? Is to see your loved ones. And a lot of you really love your loved ones, but that's not the reason to be going to heaven. You see, Jesus came because he loved you. He spends every moment of every day with you. Do you think this is going to change? When you accept eternity and salvation and accept Jesus, do you think that when you get to heaven, it's going to be different than now? Right now we say Jesus is with us 24/7. A lot of us could feel his presence every moment, every our waking moment, when we're in our dreams. He seems to be there too. I mean, it doesn't seem like that there's a moment of our life after we accept Jesus that Jesus is not there with you. Is heaven going to be different? Heaven is now you get to actually see Jesus, have two-way conversations with ease, touch him, and so forth and so on. We're going to see if everything he wrote about himself, everything he wrote through the apostles and through the prophets and so forth, about himself. Is he really who he says he is? He tells us a lot of pretty wonderful things. You know, one day we're going to be up there, face to face with him. Are we going to remember him as who we remembered him while we're still on earth? What's he going to be like? Do we have our own picture of what's he going to be like? Pretty hard to imagine. In actuality, we have verses that says, I have not seen, ear not heard, and so forth. The wonderful things that are in store for us are those that love Jesus. What's it mean? Does it mean we get we're a tourist, we can go all over the universe and see fantastic geological things? We can see forests on faraway worlds, waterfalls, and then some strange lands. Tourists see, go to zoos and parks all over the universe. Is this what going to heaven's going to mean? Well, probably to some degree or another, we're going to have a job up there. Our idea of rule is not exactly what the Bible is talking about, but we're going to rule with Jesus. We're going to have charge over many things, but it's not rulers as what we know rulers, like presidents and dictators and kings and premiers and all this kind of stuff, or governors. It's not going to be this kind of a rule. And so, but we're going to rule with him. So what does that mean? So there's a lot of things. Does that mean we're going to be way off past the Milky Way and some other kind of thing? Well, of course, by the time it's all over, all this stuff will be melted away and new ones will be created. But however that part comes to be, the ultimate thing that the Bible ends up with is we're going to be, because there's going to be quite a universe, and we're going to be having lots to do. We're not going to get bored. Hard to understand what we're going to be doing, and hard to understand this kind of ruling with him, because it's not our concept of rule. When we actually get there, it's going to be something else. It's definitely going to be enjoyable. Tears are going to be wiped away. But if we're going to rule, who are we going to rule? I mean, there's lots of things that is interesting about when Jesus returns. But the thing that is not so considered, it seems, is that when we are wherever we're going, there's a good period of time, 1,000 years, we'll be here on earth. We're not going to be in heaven. We could go back and forth, but we'll be on earth, taking care of earth with Jesus. And probably some other kinds of stuff too. But when that day comes and our body changes, in the twinkling of an eye, and so we get our spirit body, we're going to find out that Jesus is there. We can't say, Jesus, hey, I'm going to go down to the river bottom and play. I'm going to take a vacation, Jesus. See you in 2 weeks. Not going to work like that. So you should like Jesus, because he's going to be there with you. You're going to turn around and say, Jesus, hey, you know, it's Jesus and you. Jesus sort of, you know, he's got the attributes of God. Omnipresence. He's with all of us. With me, with you, with somebody in China. You know, there's some people up in space right now that's probably he's with. It's hard to know that for sure. If you're getting positioned, when you're finally getting up to something like that, you might have some different concepts of things, but, you know, he's probably up there with a couple of those people at times. He's with everybody anyway, but I mean, in a personal relationship, it's a 24/7 thing. And what happens when we get our spiritual body, we don't have to rely on, we feel his presence. A lot of the time, that's about all we can relate to Jesus, is we know he's here, because we feel him. It's like a person. We know he's listening. It's like he's standing there, just like you had somebody standing, but you can't necessarily see him. Sometimes people get lucky they can see him at some points. But mostly, we can't really see him. We just know he's there, 24/7. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. And it doesn't change. It doesn't matter what church you go to, or what place you go to, what circumstances you go to. When you think about Jesus, he's there. He never left you. You know, you got in the plane, you went to sleep, when you woke up, you was on the other side of the world, got off the airport, and Jesus is here. Same as he was back there. It's like, there's no distance change. Nothing happened. But when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to be there in such a way we see him. He's not going to be a ghost. He's not going to be invisible. He's going to be there. Now, it's an odd situation, because how are we going to comprehend this kind of stuff? We've got billions of us up there, you know. How many of us actually get saved out of 6 billion? If you just try to get the ballpark figures of numbers, we got something like 1/3. So we can maybe be sort of correct in saying 1/3 of all human beings that ever lived will be saved. Of course, then you have to argue the point of these people that think that Earth's been around for millions of years, and so have people. What do you do with them? Well, there's lots of things that we're kind of skimpy on information about. It takes more faith to believe in some of those things. After all you need to do, if you can't explain something, is add a few million years. And evolution works really great, you know. You run into a little sticky place, add a couple of million years. That covers it. You're safe then. Hey, you know what? Hey, we ran into this problem, but we can add a couple of million years to take care of it. Yeah. Chances are pretty good that something around the 7,000 year mark, 6,000 years ago, that's when the waters receded. And then God made all the fishes and birds and plants, stuff like that. And then he dug in the plate in the ground there, shaped up some dirt there, and breathed life into Adam. It could possibly be really the 6,000 year mark. And we could be full of it, and maybe this period of time was actually something a bit odd. Generally speaking, we got to pretty much stick to that. Something about it, there were 6,000 years went by, and so something has to explain what the science talks about when they're talking about billions of years. My feelings are what some scientists are saying, and what the Bible says, is that God stretched out the universe. And the process of stretching actually adds the appearance of age. in this types of instructions and understanding, that means you can have an instrument, a scientific instrument, point it where you want, however the instrument is supposed to work, it's going to tell you this is this old. Why will it tell you this old? Because it sees that appearance of age. Because when you stretch it, the qualities of this thing is age-like. So when you aim a scientific instrument at something, you will get something that will appear to be millions, if not billions, of years old. A lot of it is still faith. You know, science in the great part is still in the area of a religious faith. It takes faith to believe something. Science seeks out to get some concrete facts, but it still relies a lot on evolutionary theories and lots of faith. Some of the science thing takes more faith than faith in God. And evolution takes gobs more faith than believing in God. People, when we die, or when we get changed into a spirit body, Jesus will be with us forever and ever and ever and ever. When we accept Jesus, we're accepting somebody that loves us first. He first loved us. We care less about him. We don't think he exists. Whatever things we think about, we have nothing towards him. But he loved us. And he did not want us to die, because if we died for our own sins, it would be an eternal death. And he loves us. His first act towards you is an act of love. He was able to pay the price for your sin. He was able to die and then rise again because he was without sin. He's the only person ever to be able to die for anybody's sin. So when we accept Jesus, we're accepting somebody that did what we needed to do, what we deserved, and that was to die. The thing is that if we died, we won't be coming back to life because we're sinners. Well, technically you will be coming back to life, because 1,000 years from now, everybody that's dead is going to come back to life, and the books will be open to see if they're written in them or not. And if you didn't accept Jesus, you're not going to be written in them. And people, when those books are open, there's going to be lots of saved people written in them that got raised with the people that didn't believe. Did you know that? There's only two risings of the dead. The first rising of the dead comes in the tribulation period. And this is why we go through 1260 days at least, because as living Christians, we have to be ready for eternity with Christ. So we have to get raptured ready. That takes us 1260 days of the tribulation. Then we're raptured. But people keep dying. And during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, people are going to die. And lots of these are Christians. So there's going to be one more rising of the dead. When that rising of the dead, all the people that turned to Satan during that time, and all the people in all eternity, all past the past, is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But all the rest will have their new bodies at that time, because they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know Jesus, just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. See you next week.